You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we talk about a study that found that there's no monetary reason for having all white casts in Hollywood movies because films with diverse casts perform better at the box office.
First, higher education funding and student loan debt have been big issues in Wisconsin's politics and budget situation, and they've emerged as part of the presidential campaign as well, with the remaining candidates laying out some of their policy ideas in recent weeks.
This is the first major financial issue for many Americans, with well over $1 trillion in current student loan debt and a new cohort of students and families figuring out how to cover the cost of college education every year.
Doug Letterman joins us now. He's editor and co-founder of Inside Higher Ed. Doug, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into specifics, Doug, have candidates been paying, do you think, enough attention to these issues, higher education funding and student loan debt?
Well, the history shows this is not higher education, though it appears on the list, topping the list and near the top of a lot of individual voters' lists. It has not played a hugely significant role in most presidential elections. This year's promises could be a little different. Certainly on the Democratic side, we have seen both major Democratic candidates talk pretty significantly about it. Donald Trump, as is true on a lot of issues, hasn't been particularly focused on a lot of policy proposals. But I do think that it's likely to be a way in which some of the Democrats probably seek to differentiate themselves and particularly to attract young voters. That's where I think we've seen the issue tend to be used, is to try to attract young voters. And both candidates on the Democratic side, Sanders has had more success reaching student voters and young voters. Hillary's going to definitely need those to do well in the fall.
If ever student loan debt and higher education were going to be factors in an election, I mean, we're up, as we mentioned, over $1 trillion apparently in student loan debt. It sounds like this could be the year that it's an issue that would resonate with a lot of potential voters, especially younger voters, but maybe people who've been carrying that debt for 10, 20 years.
No question. And I think that's thinking about the election in terms of the larger sort of political trends, we have certainly seen over the last, in this administration, has really intensified the focus on higher education and student debt. And I think in general, the trends of the last, let's say, decade have been for the federal government, as the federal government has really ramped up its investment financially and otherwise in higher education, we have seen the politicians ask a lot more and expect a lot more of higher education, and I think that's a trend that is irreversible. We are going to see it may be reversible that the money flows as much as it has during the Obama administration, but I think the trend of the government and politicians asking more of colleges, demanding evidence, proof of performance and proof of outcomes, that ship has sailed, and I think that's where it's going for the foreseeable future.
You mentioned we've heard from the two remaining Democratic candidates on this, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. What have they had in common? Where do they share agreement on their policies they've expressed so far?
Well, not surprisingly, I think I heard the end of your last slot, and you know, in general, the Democrats tend to propose and prefer solutions that involve more government, more spending, and that's certainly the case on higher education as well. Both Democrats have proposed plans that, in one way or another, would what they have in common. In one way or another, they would sort of try to make higher education more affordable by linking federal funds to how states behave when it comes to higher education. That's probably the way in which the plans are most similar. Both of them would try to leverage, use federal funds and the promise of funds to support students and colleges to require states to spend money themselves, either at comparable levels or to spend more. And that would represent a pretty big change in sort of the traditional relationship between the federal government and the states. Now the plans would do this in very different ways, but that's one area in which both of them use the word free in one way or another, but again, in very different ways. Bernie Sanders' plan would basically really push states to offer tuition, free tuition to many, if not all, students. Hillary Clinton's plan would try to would require states to create debt-free options. It would require every state to ensure that citizens had a public higher education option that would not require them to go into debt. But there's a lot of differences within the that broad framework.
Now, the word "free" in either case is striking in higher education, as in a store, I guess, but. The plans you're outlining sound like they'd require a cooperation with states to some extent. I mean, to some extent, using federal money as a lever to get states to do certain things, but states would have to play along. And is there any expectation that all 50 states would do so?
Not hardly. and you're, you know, in fact, you know, Wisconsin is certainly one of the states where it's pretty hard for people, given the way things have unfolded there in recent years. It's kind of and the stance of the current governor. It's kind of hard to picture he and Governor Walker and some of his like-minded governors in other states being willing to bow to the sort of demands of the federal government. I mean, I think all you have to do is think about some of the politics around the Affordable Care Act, and you could see some of the same dynamics playing out. Hillary Clinton has sort of attacked the Sanders plan on that grounds that it's unrealistic to expect governors, and she did this while she was in your fair state, specifically unlikely to expect Governor Walker, she said, to play ball like this. She didn't quite mention, as our story pointed out a few weeks ago, that her plan would also be helped and may require some cooperation with the states. Although she had a vision, their plans, both of which are a little undetailed at this point, had a way for individual institutions to opt in if their states didn't. But those details are a little hard to fully grasp at this point.
We're talking to Doug Lederman. He's editor and co-founder of Inside Higher Ed. He's with us to look at the presidential candidates, the remaining ones in the major parties, and what they've had to say or suggest about higher education costs and student loan debt. And Doug, you said we haven't necessarily heard as much from Donald Trump on this. I've seen at least some hints that he would want to reform things, more market-driven approach to college funding, higher education funding, and he said something about the colleges, universities sharing the risks of student loans somehow. What do we know, if anything, about that?
Well, so again, the candidate himself has been focused elsewhere in general. He's had a few stray comments here and there about certain education issues, but he's had very little to say. And we've been promised a sort of education and higher education policy framework, but haven't seen that yet. But we published not quite a month ago, an interview with Sam Clovis, who's been his national co-chair and policy director, and who's a professor at a small college in Iowa, that laid out some of the ideas that he said they were kicking around. We didn't get much confirmation from anybody else within the campaign, and we haven't seen reinforcements of that. But one of the ideas that he mentioned, and it's an idea that has gained a good bit of support and across the aisle, interestingly, in D.C. and elsewhere, is this idea of what is called risk sharing, which is basically requiring institutions, individual colleges and universities, to holding them accountable by forcing them to more or less vouch financially for when they give loans and giving, again, what a common phrase that's used is making sure they have skin in the game, such that if one of their students defaults on a loan, they pay something of a financial price, and there are a bunch of different ways where that could be done. Right now, there isn't such there is very little incentive. It's that we've had a system over the past where the government provided the loan, either if originally lenders and now the government provide the loans. They're guaranteed by the government. The government provides a guarantee to them, but in this broad realm of proposals, you would individual institutions would basically have to pay some amount if a student defaulted on a loan. And that would, in theory at least, force them to pay much more attention to whom they admit and how successfully they are led through the and helped through the through to graduation and then to a job, because we know that for all the attention paid to these the graduate of NYU who's with $120,000 in debt working as a Starbucks barista, that's really the outliers. The people who really struggle with student loan debt are those who don't get a credential of any kind and don't have something of value that they can use. And even with the debt levels can be comparatively small, but they can still be debilitating.
We'll leave it there for now. Doug, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
We've been talking to Doug Lederman. He's editor and co-founder of Inside Higher Ed, and he joined us to look at higher education funding and student loan debt issues and how they're playing out, what we're hearing from the candidates in the presidential race.
Coming up after the news, Hollywood has long been criticized for a diversity problem. We'll talk about a new study that found that Hollywood movies actually do better at the box office when they have non-white actors in leading roles. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.